invocation open. And say we apologize for starting late. We were delayed by printers. The printing finished up a little bit late. Hence we start late. But you recall that yesterday we went through this bill, clause by clause. We concluded what we set ourselves for, and we then decided that before we proceed towards the stage where we can adopt the amendment, we must first get this amendment to be properly inserted in the amendment, so that we can look at this amendment and satisfy ourselves that indeed they are all included before we move towards the adoption. But before we do that, I just want to indicate to the meeting that I have received from one of my suggested new insertion to the bill, which then I agreed that it's fine, we can take it, and then we can take the discussion forward from there.
Chairperson, this insertion is to just regulate the establishment of a register of land claims. And basically what it says is as follows. Establishment of register 1. The department shall establish and keep a register which shall be known as the National Land Restitution Register. 2. The department shall enter into the register the details of all land restitution claims, including the following. A. The claimant's details. B. Details of the land and the claim. C. Whether the claimant has opted for, and needs to just amend this slightly here, restoration of a right in land, and then or financial compensation. D. Whether the claim succeeded or failed. And E. The progress of the processing of each claim. 3. The register shall be kept up to date by the department and shall be open to the public by the department's website. Chairperson, the motivation behind this is that one of the complaints that we heard at the public hearings was that people don't know what the status is they claim at any given time. And by doing this, it becomes a lot more transparent to the general public. They can log on and see, and if they are unable to log on, they can call their local public representative and say, please log on for me and find out what happened to my claim. So it's really facilitates the outward-facing nature of the land claim process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam. There is the proposal. I looked into it. It doesn't seem to me that it is not a controversial intention. But before I open the meeting for comments, let me just get the view from the Deputy Legislative Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair President. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. In principle,
not the department, to establish and maintain a register. What the concern that we have is with regards to the information of the payments. We would have to perhaps maybe get guidance from the Chief Legal Advisor about the implication of the promotion of access to information. But I do know that currently, when we provide details of the claim, we have to obtain written permission from the claimant to provide their personal details. So 2A, for instance, requires the claimant's details. You would have a situation where by day 3 of opening, we would have made 3 claims, and by day 4, 2 of the 3 claims have gone missing. And without those people, then there won't be a claim. So the security of the claimant's name and the issue that we would also have to consider. We have said that these new claims are going to be lodged through an electronic system. The electronic system is basically a register. It will capture all the information, but then when it has to be made available to the public, then we must have to consider the implications of what we can and we can't do in the promotion of access to information. And the commission doesn't have its own website. It is hosted, in our information is hosted in the department's website. So every time in this proposed clause, you see department, we have to amend that to commission, because in restitution, the only reference made to the department is when the access that the accounting officer is the director general of the department. So in summary, we do not have objections to a statutory requirement of keeping a register. We are just concerned about the details of the payments and whether those in terms of fire can be published. And then the rest is what A2E of clause 2 is what is going to be found in that in that register, in that system, in any event. And then we would propose that clause 3 will read that the register shall be kept up to date by the commission and shall be open to the public. And then the manner in which it is open to the public is can be dealt with through regulations, so that we do not prescribe that the information must be on the website. If the website is down, then we would be contravening the legislation. And so what those basically would be our views. Firstly, prior implications on the claimant details, and then second, maybe the register is just kept open to the public, and the means in which it will be made open to the public that can be determined through regulation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mdongjo. So, if I understand you correctly, let me just start with the easy one. On the item or clause 3, you agree with the clause and you want to change department from commission, and it must end at to the public. You must remove via department website.
That's correct.
And in terms of details of all this you said, like, and your concern in terms of the details of the claim, definitely a concern which is bordering on the promotion of access to information and which means therefore if the clause can be structured in such a way that it allows things to happen, but in terms of in compliance with the promotion of access to information act. Am I correct? Yes, that's correct. Okay, Dr. Members, before you get a chance, let me just hear the state of affairs in terms of this.
Thank you, Sir President. The only issue that also helps to is the amount of details that are listed. Usually the dictated for in regulations. So we just say the department shall enter into the register the details of all the land restitution claims as prescribed with the CVS, all the details of the restitution claims. And regard to the third one, also think specified by the website is just a specific issue state to be available to the public. In principle, they're keeping the register so I don't have any information for
it. Okay, thank you very much. Can I hear the committee on the matter? Honourable Member, Honourable Swati, Honourable Tapani, Honourable Tafuru, in that order.
Sir President, thank you. I think that my view, actually, the commissioner has touched it. Mine is that I thought that when they talk of the electronic system that would serve as a register, of course there had to be a register so that it should be something that one can refer to at some stage. Like it is now, some of the claims, people don't get it back because somewhere on the line they were missed. So a register is a good thing, there is no problem with it. But to understand the information, that's my problem. There is a lot of people on the ground that are paying accounts because their details were taken somewhere on the cell phone or what. I'm just afraid that we never get an end of things because somebody might grab the information and do whatever it is. So that part of details of payment is a very dangerous one. I know in my area, there were fights, people killed each other. How much more if information can be just like this? So anybody can do whatever he wants or she wants with your details. I think that's it.
Thank you very much, Natasha. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I think that for us maybe to see this as something that can also add. We have seen this as something that can also strengthen this deal because of what we discovered when we went over that people complaining and we thought that actually necessary and therefore we thought that if we bring it today maybe it will actually strengthen this because the register actually enable a person who actually lodged a claim. It was previously, from 1984 to 1998, people are complaining that some are saying that they have lodged and their files cannot be their files cannot be found. So if they signed a register, then I think it will actually be as evidence that this person actually has lost a claim. So I think that incorporation of this edition will actually help strengthen this. As the Speaker of Advice also indicated that she doesn't see any problem with regard to this. So the issue of information, I think if a person lodges a claim, I mean, he actually lodged it. I don't think he's making it a secret that he lodged a claim. It's something that it's a right. I just wanted to comment on concern that the Deputy Legislative Commissioner raised in terms of the promotion of Access to Information Act. You know, I hear you saying very secretly, then you claim, but the Deputy Legislative Commissioner raises a concern about our compliance or otherwise with transmission information available in terms of this act. So what's your comment on that?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. That's why I'm stressing that in terms of when people are lodging claims, sometimes they lodge claims in a group and they provide information. So even if you can ask those people who are actually lodging claims, do you not want to, do you want this to be a secret, not to know the information or to be known? Some might even say that, no, actually, because we write for claim and then the land belongs to us. I think that maybe people will agree because this is not a time that
thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, to me, this insertion would have been a very good idea under the old method of recording claims. Now that the claims are recorded electronically, at the press of a button, the whole information is readily available. The last time I checked at this office, if you want information, you write a letter, and then you state the reasons why you want to, and then you pay a fee. That is what I said. So I think same thing can be made here. If a person wants information regarding the claim, you must just make an application to the bank commissioner and state the reason why you want this, and then it is electronically recorded. So that should be available. Rather than, you know, in every hire, that is Prevention of Access to Information Act, you have to grant a permission from the person first before you release the information for that person. Whether you feel there is no reason this person can refuse that information can be given out, but you must get information from that person. Otherwise, he will sue you in terms of that debt if you release information without his consent or her consent. So what I'm saying is, why don't we take that route of this office, where you make an application, where you want information, and you give it in. And it's readily available now in the computer, because it's electronically recorded. As I say on the second, to me, this was a great idea under the old order of recording claims, when it was being done manually. Now that is electronically recorded, I don't see this way any reason for this.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm glad we have missed something when the written question sort of expression on the fact that there must be a consideration of disclosure of information for individuals who might have lodged the claims. Chairperson, my understanding was on these claims or the claimants, the details are just that I'm so and so residing in such and such a place, this is my ID number. I was of the view that if the question that is required is just that, why can't then it be disclosed? I'm taking this Chairperson, not from the fact that when the first claim was loaded, when they were gazetted, they were partitioned on newspapers, so that though the landowners could be aware who is claiming the land that they owned, or that is in their hands. So, in my view, Chairperson, I thought maybe there is not much that can be regarded as a secret or as an information that is not to be disclosed when you were lodging the case. Secondly, Chairperson, I'm saying this from the experience. When the claims were lodged before, you could find that when the officials from the Office of Land Commissioner took information, they at times refer those claims to other
areas, rather places where where the actual names were lost. If I may make an example, a person in Kailisha loses a game, or a portion of the land in Kailisha, then according to the kind of details, that claim would be said to have been lost in Google. Those are the things which I'm trying to grasp with. As far as I could see, if the details are there for a person, excluding the detail, I don't think there's anything wrong that would affect the whole process, because it will assist whoever has put a claim. When we are out on our patrols, we're hearing people say we were first removed from point A to point B, and again removed from point B to point X. If then, say, I'm in point X, and somebody is still in point B, lodges a claim on land that my grandfather's owned. I think I was just saying, myself too, I lost the claim because I was forced to remove it from the place. So that's all I could take, just from what has been said by the Claims Commission. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your comment. Let me just pose this question to speak law advice or in the Claims Commission. And I heard you because you're saying you don't have a problem principle with the intention, provided it complies with the protection of Access to Information Act, which I think no one is opposed to that, from those who made remarks. I just want to make a question in relation to what Honorable Tapani said. Will there be a special or an advantage, just using a term, would it be an advantage to have a register over and above the electronic capture? In other words, will a register perform a more efficient and faster option of accessing information as compared to a register? And I raise this. You say you agree with the principle, so I assume that you see some advantage. And I would guess that in the first phase, the reason why you had those kind of problems was the absence of one very more advanced system, like the current system. Secondly, and I just wanted to make a brief comment before we actually move towards finalizing the thing along those lines. It's about electronic versus potentially comparing them in a competing manner, but just indicate whether will the register add some value in terms of advancing the cost over and above the electronic. Mr. President.
Thank you, Chair. Currently, we do have database of claims, and but that database is not a comprehensive database in the sense that it can answer any question that the person may have. And other than moving with the times and the convenience of having a proper machine that will be able to generate reports, the idea behind the electronic system is so that it can serve as a tool that will assist us, to even us within the commission, to obtain information. Currently, if I want to know what is happening about the game in Babana, I must check down the project officer who is working with that claim. There isn't a system where I can, a person gives me a reference number and I go back in and I'm able to tell them that this is what is happening with the claim. So the electronic system is
for those purposes, and it will be improved with time so that it can provide reports as and when requested. Practically, the electronic system, if this clause were to be accepted and inserted in the bill, we will just change the name of the electronic system and we would call it the National Land Restitution Register. And then the portions of it that would be made available to the public relates to information that we can release in terms of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. One of the grounds in Section 34 of EPIA for refusing to provide information is that information is personal information. And personal information includes your name, your age, your gender, your address, your ID number, etc., etc. If the request is unreasonable. Honorable Kulu is saying, well, you have claimed, and maybe when you claim, then you must know that those details, like your name and maybe not your address for safety reasons, but your ID number, or at least your name, must be made known to anyone who is an inquiry, including an owner, the current owner of the land that is claimed. But the release of that information will all be subject to the Promotion of Access to Information Act. And the detail, so that if it is someone challenges the publication of a particular detail on the claim, so that we do not have to come back to Parliament to go make an amendment and go through all these processes to remove something, perhaps we can leave the detail of what will be published to regulations, and that way the process of amending regulations is much is less cumbersome compared to amending legislation. So we would use the same system, but then when it comes to making that system available to the public, then certain information which we can't release in terms of fire will then will not be made available to the public.
You are the proposer of the bill, so I just want to get other people a chance to speak on whether you might have applied or my food before the shelter table to care. Can I get straight on that?
The issue of the detail of the claim is already an issue because what details and person's rights to privacy should be protected. As I stated earlier, I think we remove all the sub bullets or sub points and just state that there should be a register and use the rest of the details to the regulation, so it can be considered as what details should be included on the register and what should be available to the public. There's two options, either that it's available to the public has to request it from the commission. So those are the two considerations, whether it should just be available to the public or there should be a request from a person to the commission as to access those details. Either would be acceptable, but in terms of the normal process as it is, in terms of higher, you would have to have reasons as to why you're requesting those details. That would be the most preferred route. So there will be a register, and the person wants to have access to it, and they will apply to the commission and state the reasons as to why they want the details, and then the commission can grant that if it is in line with the act. Thank you.
All right. Would you want to say something more?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Two things. First of all, PIE is a very easy thing to get around. And that is, on every application, we put in that the applicant's name may be made public. If we do that, we can get around on it. If we notify them that their details may be made public, you hire all the way. That's the first point. The second is, we already publish their names. Every time a claim is submitted, their names are published. I'm looking at a claim right now. It says, Enos must enter Kabula Yaka on behalf of the Kwaka community. That was gazetted.
Doesn't matter what
the surname is. Okay. I'm sorry, I apologize for my pronunciation. My point is that it's already made public in the Gazette. So why are we now trying to add a layer of secrecy to the claims process? The whole idea of this insertion is that it's easier for the public to track their claims. And if they have to submit a request, as our legal advisor has proposed, it's actually delaying the process. If they can go onto a website and type in their claim number and it pops up and says, your claim is being verified, or your claim is at this point, or whatever it might be, it's quick and easy. If they go to the commission and have to go through the whole process and the roundup process, I'm sorry, that's actually defeating the objective. We're trying to make it easier for claimants to see what's going on. So really, I would appeal that one, we just put a disclaimer on the application form, on the claim form, that says your name and the community you represent may be made public. And two, that we really make it public. I don't know what the deal is.
Let me hear you, sir.
Yeah.
You can say. Say. One is not proposed to either of the two. The motivation, what my colleague has stated and that for the Land Commission, is that firstly, you don't put really within legislation any superfluous detail, and therefore one, it is good to put that what must be put in place is the register. The rest one prescribes within regulation. Secondly, what the Land Commission said also that with regulations, it is there. So we don't put the provisions of fire, we don't put provisions of budget, we don't put provisions of constitution in there because it's superfluous, it's not necessary. However, in the regulation, all what the honourable member has stated is there. So the public do have access in any event. And lastly, those regulations can be amended much more seriously than where if it comes through this purposes of legislation.
Maybe before you speak, I'm going to let me just throw in this suggestion, because it seems to me, point number one, there is no problem. Just put it to replace department with commission. And again, on number three, the proposal here is that we replace department commission by the sentence and with to the public. Now, number two, which seems to go more into detail, that's where there are concerns. Now, I just want to suggest that in order to comply with later legislation in terms of access to information, we may just want to say the department shall enter into the register the details of all land restitution claims in line with the promotion of no. It doesn't make any sense. What? Sorry.
As subscribed. That means cases for the
regulation. Yes, prescribed. Oh, general problem. Like I'm not wrong. Okay, that is what I want to suggest. That's prescribed by what? I was saying by the fire, but it seems to be this. Okay. You can comment afterwards, have your comment up there.
So, President, prescribed is defined as the act as being prescribed under the act, and Section 40 of the Principal Act empowers the minister to make describe in terms of this app. So just to say, as you described, in terms of the control document style, that will mean refer to the regulations, just describe the case fine.
How would you read that sentence in terms of what I've been proposing?
Department shall enter into register the details of all, the commission shall enter into the register of the details of land restitution claims as described.
And reference to the Promotion of Access to Information Act would in fact be in clause 3. The register shall be kept up to date by the Commission and shall, subject to the Promotion of Access to Information Act, be made available to the public. I think the new formulations make a lot of sense to me. They are reasonable. And in what Mr. Mdonja said earlier, they basically give a title or a name to the electronic system. Are we in agreement with the new proposal? Okay, it says, the first one says, Signal Advisor.
Sorry, Chair, I'll comment on you. As soon as you hear the full proposal,
I'm trying to read the whole proposal, the whole session as amended. The first one is that the Commission shall establish and keep a register, which shall be known as the National Land Restitution Register. Two, the Commission shall enter into the register the details of all land institution claims as prescribed. The register shall be kept to date by the Commission and shall, subject to the Promotion of Access to Information Act, be open to the public. My understanding is we currently we are dealing with the claims in terms of the new amendment moving forward. Now I don't know, that is for the meeting to decide. If we want to include to capture previous claims, it's up to the meeting to decide. But Mr. Park,
my understanding says this clause relates to this year. And my understanding, the law does not apply retrospectively.
Well, can you see that? It's not that they're going in ambulance. Okay, Ariel Roswati, then Honorable Minor.
Yeah, my comment for that one. I think it can help. I think let's use it. Let the Commission use it. If they see that they have a problem with regard to the claims of food from 1994 to 1998, if this comes along, once it becomes an act, and if it still has some problems there, if this can help, I think they, because by that time it will be an act, then they can really use this act because it will actually replace the old one. So the current act will also allow for that to happen within the question. So that's my comment on that one. I think it can also cover the past and the future.
Chairperson, I think with all due respect to my colleague, Honorable Tapani, the
therefore apply to anything that was submitted in terms of the 1994 Act. It also helps us as a department, as a portfolio committee, as the public, to have a national register of all the land claims. We then know exactly where the land is, who's claimed it, who's received it, what the status is of those claims, and it would be to the benefit of the department. Now, I take exactly what Honourable Swade has said, that let's start populating it with the new data. But while we're doing that, we can work on the backlog and bring in the old claims as well, because it makes a lot of sense to have this centralized database of every single land claim. Makes sense. I don't understand why we want to do that.
This process is finalized. I would have spent so much time with the members of parliament, people would be calling me honorable.
And you were
all right. Chair, we do have information on the claims that have been settled and how they were settled. Land that was acquired, the compensation that was paid. But taking, migrating that information from where it is into a register of this nature will take some time. New claims, yes, that will not be a problem. But then migrating information that we have where it is to a different system. We are talking of no less than 77,458 games that would have to then be inserted in a new system whilst we are taking hundreds of thousands of new games. What we would propose is that the same manner that reference has been made elsewhere in the bill to certain sections coming into effect from the date that this bill is signed into law, that we make that reference and then limit the register to the new claims. Obviously, any person who requires information in terms of the old claims, they'll still get it because it's there. Because PIA says they must be provided information, but that this register is just with respect to the new claims. And if the department goes a step further and adds old claims to make its work easier, then let the department do that. But in this clause, and the reason why we asked whether it was intended to also include the old claims was because of a proposal that we had of saying that the Commission will enter details into the claims in respect of the claims that are currently in this, and then the stakeholder advisors will then advise us on the wording which is proper for that.
Let's agree that the filing, you know, including the previous claims into this arrangement, is not necessarily a problem. But for the purpose of this register now, let's agree that it's a proposal addressing the process from now moving forward. Moving forward, if this process works better, assist the department and the commission, obviously
then be regarded as a matter of best practice. It can then be incorporated. But my fear now is it's a good idea to include the previous ones. But we must also remember that if we add too much load, or if we force the department by legislation to populate this information now, it may take time, especially dealing with the new days, and contribute towards some delays. But don't get me wrong, as a principle, it's a bad idea. So I want to urge this committee to agree with the proposal that I had earlier, and then going forward, there can always be some regulations that are put in place to address the issue of whether it's necessary to populate the old to the new, depending on whether it works well, it's a best model that could be emulated. And I thought maybe we should go along those lines so that we don't struggle to move them forward, but we struggle to move forward.
Thank you. I think the wording was able to capture what is intended is that the new claims have preference, but you don't exclude the possibility of the advanced registering the old claims. So if we leave it more wider in the minister and the regulations in that regard, so if we remove the word all and just say the commission shall enter into the register the details of land claims as prescribed, so the minister may at this stage prescribe that the new claims be entered and in as later on he could prescribe that the older claims entered into the register. So if we give them that wider wording, then the possibility of the register's rate of including older claims is not excluded. So it will be left up to the minister to make a determination as to which is most feasible at this stage.
So you're saying it should be the commission shall enter into the register the details of all land registration claims as prescribed?
Yes, you want to leave the word all. So it just is land claim, land restitution claim as prescribed. So the minister could prescribe the new claims now or and later prescribe that the old claim also be entered into the register.
It must be details of land restitution claims. Does all but include all? The old and the new?
Yes, Chair, I agree with my colleague. To delete all, that will encompass all the claims and can be determined at any stage by the Minister. Again, I want to re-emphasize that one, it's much easier to amend amendments, but also to also state that amendments in regulations is just as statutory in a sense as legislation and need to abide by the document. Thank you, sir.
I want to try and read the final.
Chair, my concern is that, and I'm not describing anything to the minister at the moment, the next minister maybe might be a different kettle of fish.
Like you.
Might be me. My point is that by giving the minister the discretion to determine what land claims might be included, we are actually saying that you could say no land claims shall be included on the register. That's what giving him that discretion by regulation is saying. You could say all land claims by quite people must be included on the register. Or you could say, our point is that you're giving him too much discretion. All land claims, and maybe we can say submitted after 1 April 2013 or 2014 be included. But we can't give the minister that discretion or the commission that discretion. It needs to be clear that every single land claim must go on the register. And I'm happy with the Deputy Commissioner's statement that he can't bring the old claims through easily, that the new claims will go on. But let's make it clear that we as Parliament expect every claim that's submitted from now forward to be included.
So you don't want to get all to be removed.
actually, I would propose that, that all land claims, or what was it say, all land restitution claims submitted after 1 April 2014. I would accept that.
So therefore, the final position as of now is that the establishment of the register shall read like, the Commission shall establish and keep the register which shall be known as the National Land Restitution Register. The Commission shall enter into the register the details of land restitution claims, or all, you want all to be included, right? All land restitution claims registered or submitted before, up after, yes sir.
Why don't we say after the commencement of this act?
I think that's fair, provide. We're talking about the amendment at this edition. All land claims register after the commencement of this act. Agreed? So it actually includes the preservers. Alright. So the number two, the commission shall enter the register the details of all land register claims submitted after the commencement of this act. Agreed? And then the third one shall be, the register shall be kept.
It will not be commencement of this act, but commencement of the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act 2014.
The Commission shall enter the register the details of all land restitution claims submitted after the commencement of the Land Rights Amendment 2014. The register shall be kept up to date by the Commission and shall, subject to the Promotion of Access Information Act, be public. So we agree. Thank you. Now we will. You will just decide where you locate it in the body of this. I'm not sure where you want to place it, but while you're thinking about it, I want to proceed with the work of the day. We are having a what is called the age. At the Bay List. I think we look into the A List and check whether what is in the A List is correctly captured in the list. Am I right? We use the A List to check the amendments that we made. And refer to the B list to check whether they've been kept here correctly in the B list. All together? Okay. I'm saying, oh sorry.
Sorry, Chair. You're correct, Chair. This is the amendments that will be incorporated into the new bowl, which to put some currency around it. The bowl 35 will be the most introduced bowl. So this becomes the ADIS, which incorporates all the maintenance we want to see in the new bowl, and the new bowl becomes the B bowl. And that was the ADIS, and then the new bowl that will move forward is the B bowl.
The A list is the old.
Huh? Chair, the A list is the list of agreements that was proposed by the committee yesterday in the FA meeting. So they will tell you what is the amendment, the instruction to amend. The B goal will be the incorporated version of the amendment. So the A list is what you propose, and B list is what it will look like after the proposals are made.
And then we had the bill introduced, this is the bill introduced, and as my colleague says, what the committee decided is that all the amendments will be incorporated into this bill, and then it will all merge into the new bill.
All right. Thank you. The A list is the proposed amendment. The B list is incorporated inputs. Of course, the first approach will be to take all this new one to put it into the principal exercise. Am I right? Once an exit, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay, good. Now let us touch. Not intimidated by lawyers. Just relax and then let's continue. Yeah. Show this list and make it like this and shift it. But don't worry. Keep your eye on the ball. Yeah. Alright, let's start then. We will start with referring to the A list. A list clause 1 on page 2 from line 5 to omit 31st December 1998. 2018 and to substitute 31st December 1998 to date here of June 2019. Agreed? So the new clause, therefore, shall read: Section 6 of the principal act is hereby amended by the substitution of Section 2 of paragraph A of the following paragraph. And show it? No, sorry. That's not. Yes, the new clause shall read: Amendment of Section 6 of Act No. 22 of 1994 as amended by Section 3 of Act No. 28 of 96 and Section 5 of Act 63 of 97. Section 6 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A by the substitution of option to section 2 of paragraph A of the following paragraph A, ensure that priority is given to claim loss before before the defense number 998, and which were not finalized at the date of the amendment of the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act 2014, and which after a substantial number of persons or persons who have suffered substantial losses as a result of dispossession of persons with particularly pressing needs.
There's an error in this insertion here. It should be an or, not an and. After restitution of land rights amendment act 2014, all persons, all which affects a substantial number of persons.
Not and.
No, it should definitely be all.
There's an or after the if you proceed there, and which affects a substantial number of persons, or.
Yeah, but
before the other or.
There should be all before that. Because otherwise it means priority should be given to claims lodged before 31 December 1998, which were not finalized, and which affect, so it has to have both of those criteria in order for it to qualify. It needs to be an or. So either they weren't finalized, or they affect a substantial number of people.
Can that be for me to see why you locate your best or?
Chair, it goes like this. Ensure that priority is given to claims lodged before 31 December 1998 and which were not finalized at the date of commencement of the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act 2014 or which affect a substantial number of people.
And then how you proceed again?
Still all persons have substantial losses as a result of dispossession or persons with particularly pressing needs.
So we replace the or after 2014, don't the end after 2014, we just with an or. Agreed?
Okay, the chair, the idea is to prioritize claims that were lodged before the end of 1998. The proposal that we had made yesterday was to amend 6.2d. The Secular Advisor brought to our attention that section 6.2 is actually gives a discussion. It uses the word may. So what that we would not achieve the intention. The intention is to compel the Commission to prioritize this. The previous section, which is section 6.1, lists things that the Commission shall do. So the proposal is to amend section 6.1 and not 6.2. And then it is to basically read by amending subsection 6, subsection 1 of and then we will then the speaker will tell us which of the sub paragraphs because it is listed in an orderly fashion. And then in the paragraph it will then say ensure that priority is given to claims and it will go all the way until 2014. The part after 2014 it comes from 6.2d and it will remain in 6.2d. Again, the intention is to prioritize all the claims that were lodged by 1998. The problem that the amendment as it stands creates, other than the fact that 6.2 is a discretionary section, is that it will then compel the Commission to prioritize claims that affect a substantial number of persons. That means that we will never settle an individual claim for as long as there are community claims. Now, we would like Section 6.2 to remain the same, the discretionary prioritization and then the mandatory prioritization be an amendment of Section 6.1, and then we'll just see where in Section 6.1 it will be properly inserted. And then lastly, if we say launched before 31 December 1998, that will exclude all the games that were launched on day one. The Act says no later than, so we then substitute before for no later than, so that all the claims that were launched on the 31st of December will also be prioritized.
That was my discussion with yourself earlier. Yesterday I picked up that you have given the Commission a discretion as to whether to prioritize claims, but I don't think that's the intention of the Committee. The Committee wants to ensure that claims lodged previously, before the previous cut-off date, are prioritized. So if you look at the wording in the section that we saw them in, it says the Commission may, and it says ensure that the claims are prioritized. But if you want to ensure that you actually do this, there must be no discretion, they must be forced to do this, it must be mandatory. So if we, the current amendment does not allow for this. My proposal is that we change the amendment and we amend a different section in the Act which will say the Commission shall, and then we'll insert the provision that says ensure that priority is given to claims lodged no later than 31st December 1998. So this means they're compelled to perform the action, they must prioritize claims, they don't have a choice in the matter.
Can you read for us the word that says ensure the priority in terms of the new your new version?
Thank you, Chairperson. We will have to refer to Principal Act, the 1994 Act. It's Section 6, General Functions of the Commission. Section 6.1 states, the Commission shall, at a meeting or to the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, a regional land claims commissioner, or a person designated by any such commissioner, and then I propose that we insert G, which will now be, ensure that priority is given to land claims lodged no later than 31 December 1998.
Just proceed until the end, because I want to know whether the Honorable Myram's consent fits in.
Chairperson, that will be the end of that provision. We will not amend the rest of it. The Act as it is now will remain the same. So rejecting the proposed amendment in the A list, as it stands, I am now proposing that we amend a different section. So we will just cover the priority claims. The other part of the Act is already, the other part of the A of the section or the clause is already in the Principal Act, so nothing will change in that regard. So the wording after would affect the substantial number of persons, the persons who have suffered substantial loss as a result of the possession of persons with particularly pressing needs is already in Section 2D and will remain the same. Nothing will change in that regard.
So it will therefore ensure that priority is given to claims lodged not later than the 31st December 1998, full stop.
I understand this. In the Principal Act, Section 6 ends with Section 3 of Section 2 and with F.
It ends with the
So we want now to insert this one as a standalone amendment.
Chairperson, what I'm saying, don't insert it in Section, this Section 2B is what we're supposed to amend. I'm saying we insert it in Section 1 and create a new G. It's the wording of Section 1 that says the Commission shall, while in Section 2 it says the Commission may.
So I think the point here is trying to move from discretionary to obligationary.
Yeah.
I'm sure we agree with that. So A will end up with ensure that priority is given claims lodged not later than the 31st of December 1998, and the rest is already covered. We delete, right?
silence, right? That's better. And then B,
by the insertion of chapter 2, after paragraph A of the following, monitor and make recommendations concerning the implementation of orders made by the court under 35 and by the vision of the division subsection 2, paragraph.
Thank you, Chair. Now that the previous delegation proposal was accepted, B and C will now fall away because they were technical amendments that followed the A. So because they had inserted a new clause A, then they had to affect the lien numbers of the other clause. So now it's not necessary to do that because it deleted that whole section and inserted it in section 6.1. So it's not necessary for us to have the remainder of the section.
Agreed. So in other words, this section, this A will only end with just one line, one sentence. Okay. We proceed now. Another new clause, that the following be a new clause. Amendment of section 11 of section 22 of 1994 as amended by section 5 of section 78 of 1996. Section 7 of Act 63 of 1997 and Section 4 of Act 18 of 1999. Section 11 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of Section 1 for the word following paragraph C of the following words. He or she shall cause notice of the claim to be published in the Gazette and in the media circulated nationally and in the relevant province, and shall take steps to make it known in the district in which the land in question is situated. Correct? Good. Clause 3, on page, to page 2, in line with 19, to omit the criterion for 98, replace it with 2018 and substitute 31st December 98 to 30th June 2019. Agreed, right? And proceed to page 4 in 97 to omit 2013 and substitute 2014. Granted? Okay. On page 4 in 23 to omit 1998 with 2018 and substitute 31st December 1998 with 30th of June 1998. Agreed. On page 4 in 31 to omit 31st December 1998 and substitute. Agreed. On page 4 in 38 to omit 31st December 1998 and agreed. What that is that? On page 5, in 95, to omit all and substitute with all. Huh? What kind of thing is this? On page 5, in 95, to omit all and substitute with all. What are we trying to say here? With and a substitute with all. Right? Which can make sense, but to find out what the actual meaning here.
Chairperson, if you notice that the all is in bold, because it means it was deleted and you're inserting it. So he was incorrectly deleted, that's why it's in bold. It's the way they do the amendment. So the one all is bold, it means it was deleted, and now we're saying to put in the all again.
So the or is reinstated. Another slide.
We actually share the slides before we can actually agree on the bullet and the
third point. Let's share the relevant line. What does it say?
Chair, if I may, the section read and I will tell you when I get to the relevant line. It said the minister may delegate any power conferred upon him or her
by subsection 1 or section 42C and section 42E to the Director General of Rural Development and Land Reform to the Chief Land Claims Commissioner or Regional Land Claims Commissioner. I don't think there was a deletion. I think there was an addition. There was no words there. It didn't make sense. So I think there on clause 13, it must read on page 5 in line 8, to add, on page 5, line 5, to add the word or before to the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. Because that is where the word or appears. If you compare the two, what is missing is or. There was nothing before, now we interpret an or.
So you say page 5, line 5, to add.
We said
all.
We are inserting all. There is nothing that has been deleted or substituted, but we are inserting all.
On page 5 in line 5, to insert all.
Right?
On page 5 in line 5, to insert the word all.
Between before to the Chief Land Claims Commissioner.
So it will read that the minister may delegate any power conferred upon him or her by section 1 or sections 42C and E to the Director General of Rural Development Land Reform or to the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. Correct? Okay, let's agree that on page 5 in line 5 to insert or before the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. In other words, that line continuing with the word Chief Land Claims Commissioner and so on. Agreed? Thank you. On page 13, on page 5 in line 8, to omit 2013 and to submit 2014. This one does not need legal mind. We can do it ourselves. So this concludes the amendments. Yes.
No question. I just pick up one more minor change. It's in the introducible clause 5B, 22B. It says, in case of a vacancy in the office of the judge president or judge of court, in case of vacancy in the office of the judge president or the judge of court, or if there is a sufficient reason, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, after consultation with the judge president of the court, and in accordance with section 175 of the Constitution, appoint an acting judge of the court for such term as, and state the minister shall determine. But they delete the and add a judge.
Can I just explain why we said that minister? Minister is defined in the Act to be Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. So when you say their minister, then you are referring to rural development. But when you say that minister, you are avoiding saying Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development once more. So it is correct.
Is there any other
if you say the minister referring to the minister of rural development, if you say that minister, you're referring to anyone of us, because you are Yola. All right, I think it's fine. So it's not appearing here. Huh? So it's fine, it's okay. So where do we locate that other one that we discussed earlier? How long would it take you to include these amendments into it? Well, let me say, it must be today.
Yeah. First, it shouldn't take long, and it will be by today. It's not a problem with that. It depends what does the chair or the committee want to proceed from here. Does the chair want to in principle adopt, or do you first want to see it again in front of the committee? Depending on the chair, but I can have it in a simple time for the committee. Thank you.
Well, the list of priorities, isn't it? So we don't want to adopt. We have to see what we're adopting. So you can just tell me what time you need, an hour, 2 hours, that's what I want to hear. So that when we are getting here, we clear what time we come back.
Share an hour should be fine.
Madam,
I'm not sure if we were about to adjourn, but there was that other answer that I discussed with you about the resubmission of claims.
We'll get back to that. That's something that I forgot it already, but we'll get back to that. So, the time is 12:30. Can we come in at 2? Can we come again to finalize the new amendment to endorse them? You asked for 1 hour. I'm giving you more than 1 hour. You should be fine. All right. I was just surprised by your silence. Okay. No, thank you. Then we take it like that. What
is involved here?
Chairperson, with the stable advisor and myself, we would draft the amendment because you agree to everything just to type them out. But I think the committee said it has to still print it out. I'm not sure as to the time frame of printing.
I'm not too sure if it's in order. I'm offering a call on behalf of my colleagues. But I'm sure we could possibly just do the inserts and divisions and then put them off. I'm switching copies. Can we do something?
Thank you, Chair. Other than
I am first to address them already. But I want someone to make sure that the printing does not keep on waiting like it did this morning. So this morning we waited 45 minutes, so I hope this time someone will be there to make sure that it's extremely urgent. And I'm first to come here. It's all system. Okay? No, it's fine. What I'm saying is we say number two, but after two, it might be all system go. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to come here after two and say no. In other words, we must be exact in terms of our information. That's what I'm saying. So we're saying after two is doable, isn't it?
Chair, I put on my side and committed myself to is that I can provide within the hour outside. Process further, decree the tax settings and all that, I can't vouch for. And that's why I thought it would be in order, but I do realize what the Commissioner Jenkins is saying, that it should be in the proper format, where I just thought that we could present to the committee in word, I would overlook, and the question is sad for me, but if the committee wasn't in the such setting, then I could watch for the rest of the process. Thank you.
Do you want it like a Bible? Or do you want what it's agreed upon? Because once you have adopted that, if the original thing comes, it must just be the same as, I don't know, is it a violation of any rule? Yes, sir.
Chair, what happens under normal circumstances, I mean, in the past, would be that we would present, it's just customary now of late, that we do go and print that clear, but between myself and my colleagues and the Majesty Secretary, we do proofread after proofs. To confirm that exactly what the committee adopted. So that covers different, there's always errors creeping in then, but those things will proofread after the fact. But it was accepted before that the normal C list, I mean A list will be presented and you can adopt on that. So, thank you.
Okay, I'll tell you what my group now. We you go and do your part in an hour, and you submit it to the secretary to go for printing. So by 2:30 it must be ready. But in the meantime, you must be ready to make copies in case we have to problem about 2:30. Right? Right?
Yes.
So what you're saying is we will prefer to have a printed copy in terms of that comes from the printers by 2:30. But if we don't have it by that time, we will use a copy of the ones that will be amended. And of course, the key those copies, once the final print comes, they simply compare. I don't think that there's a problem.
But I hope that by half past 2 we'll be having the final claim. That will actually be more better. Agreed? Agreed. Your point, sir.
Jensen, maybe this is something that the department needs to consider and can come back to us after lunch. I don't know, it's your call in party. We had a chat about the fact that if a person has claimed under the 1998 window period, and that claim had been rejected as being invalid, they should not be allowed to reclaim in the new window period. We're not talking about claims that have been rejected for other reasons, or procedural reasons, or documentary reasons. We're talking about where, on verification of the facts, they are not entitled to that land. They should not be entitled to reclaim. Does that fall under frivolous and vexatious claims, or I just need some clarity here. We need to be explicit about the fact that persons who have been rejected, whose claims have been found invalid on factual grounds, should not be permitted to reclaim.
Chairperson, I agree, but if a person comes with new information, if the game was that the best was exactly brought, and if he comes with new information, I think that game must be allowed.
Commission?
Thank you, Chair. In the past, we made a mistake of saying to people, you can't claim if this, you can't claim if that. The people who have come and said, we think the land may have been taken before 1950, but we're not sure, honestly, to let to them claim. Because claiming is just that, it's claiming. Then we will then look at the facts that are applicable at that time. There will be people who claimed they were paid, they're not happy about what they were paid. Those people are going to claim. And we do anticipate those claims. What the Act says in Section 2 is that if you were dispossessed and you were paid in compensation that's just negligible, then you do not qualify. The majority of the claims that have been rejected were on technical grounds, rejected because the land was taken before 1980, rejected because you actually claimed the farm next door and not the farm that you were referring to. And because of judgment to the land court, we could not process those claims on the farm next door and in fact use to resign to believe on the farm that did not claim. We would caution against excluding, especially through legislation, certain people from the process. Let everyone who wants to lodge a claim, and then when we then see that this claim is exactly the same as the one that you have given, then it would be frivolous and vexatious. Frivolous and vexatious, the court said, it's claims that are without substance, claims that are patently bogus. So if you claim that you are rejected and you claim again based on the same facts, then your claim is without substance and then it will be dismissed as a frivolous and vexatious.
Agreed?
Yes.
Frivolous and vexatious.
Good evening.
Okay, that's fine. Then we will see you by that 2:30. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.